This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Thursday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And we made it to the end of another busy broadcasting week. Here we are, and it's going to be a hot one. So.
Yeah, I don't. It's a strange kind of little heat wave of it. It doesn't seem like it's like blazing hot until you step out in it, and you're going, yeah. Oh well, it's a little much hotter than I expected it to be.
It just be thankful that there's no humidity, mm-hmm. relatively speaking, as compared to, say, the East Coast, because that for me, that just knocks me out. I'm like, oh, I can't do anything. I'm completely useless when it's all humid out here.
Yeah.
Just can't do it. But yeah, so we're coming up on weekend. We're coming up on, again, a calendar of events. Always go to kycan.com and check calendar of events. We've got a great one we're going to talk about right now. We've got Steve Kettering and Sheila Askoff from the Kaiser Salem Senior Area Seniors. K-SIS. First of all, they're celebrating 30 years in their building on Cherry and on Plymouth there. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. 30 years. That's great. So you're also having a health and safety days on August 26th. So it's going to have the Red Cross is going to be there, tables. You can get your blood pressure checked, which is very important, mm-hmm. given all the stress of daily life.
That's August 25th.
On August 25th.
August 25th? Mm-hmm. What did I have? Oh, I had 26th from there. Okay, well, 25th. So we will change that, and that'll be in show notes. So good. Tell us about the event.
Okay, so this is the second annual health and safety event. Last year, we had a blood drive connected with it, and Sherry and I were on Newsmakers last year, if you remember right. So this involves... tables will be set up with information, and you could ask questions for, I think we have close to 20 people this year. That includes Pathway Senior Solutions, Crystal Clear Aesthetics, Kaiser Fire, Willamette Lutheran Wellness, Legal Shield, Focus Fusion Massage, Chariot Synergy, and about a dozen others. And so this will be hot between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. So it's right around our lunchtime, okay. And that's on a Tuesday. And so you can, and I'm actually going to have a table there with handout business cards for my Medicare business because I'm a healthcare agent helping people on Medicare. So just I'll have a little questionnaire thing because I can't do any marketing there, but I can answer questions.
Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people have a lot of questions about that. It's kind of complicated.
Yes.
Yeah. So good that you'll be there. So Sheila, what's your involvement in this?
Well, I am not as involved in the health fair as I am other events at the center. Mm-hmm. Coming up in September on the 29th, we are having a talent show. And we had a lovely surprise this year, an 18-year-old young man named Willandre. And I asked him to sing me a little something. And he went up to the karaoke thing, asked for Whitney Houston. Rest was history. So I said, I think you should open our talent show.
If he went straight to Whitney Houston, whoa.
So that was really excellent. I'm not sure. I love the idea of the seniors being able to mentor this young man. He's polite. He's articulate, obviously talented. So that's going to be a real fun person to introduce to our membership group down there. And we have about 18 other artists signed up for that. So it's at 1 o'clock on the Tuesday, the 29th. And so come on in. There's a lot of variety of talent.
So what if somebody's listening and going, I've always wanted to come and show how talented I am with the spoons. Can I sign up?
I would be happy to talk with them about that.
Okay. So yeah. There's still time.
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Sheila. They can just ask for that and they'll get my contact information. That's not a problem.
Okay.
So
yeah, because a lot of people discover some talents later in life.
I know
maybe,
you
when
don't
they have a little
know.
More time, and you kind of can explore things and realize I'm great on the spoons or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Or they take up musical instruments they always wanted to play.
Yep. Yes,
I tried something last year at the talent show that was crazy accepted, and that was I learned to sign songs with sign language.
Oh,
and
wow, cool.
It was so well received that they asked me to do it again this year. So I'm
nice.
Going to do that. And what I love about that particular thing is you don't sign the words, you sign the meaning. So you're basically drawing a picture in your hand with your hands.
Hmm. Right. Because I would think if you were trying to follow along with the tempo and the words.
Right. No, yeah. It's your job to draw that picture of what that means to you. And so that was really a trick, and a lot of people didn't know you could do that. So, yeah, it was great. And I like to get variety. Mm-hmm. We have some people we only see a couple times a year. They come in and share their skills. And there are those who are in a sentimental place in their life, like husband and wife celebrating 65 years. And they're choosing to sing songs together. Their voices are as different as night and day, but they want to celebrate this moment in time. And you always want to make room for what makes us all human.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, absolutely.
So that it's So there's going to be variety. It's going to be fun. It's going to be concise. It's going to be tremendous variety. So
and that again is on the
29th of September.
September.
Yep. And anybody in the community who says, hey, I got a real true spirit, we'd love to know about that. Whether it's dancing or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Just as long as it's a skill that would be, you know, friendly with the membership group that we have. So, we'd love to hear from them.
Okay.
Because KSAS seriously is one of the best kept secrets in town. This is not a lot of people just sitting around up there. This is all operating off of volunteers. And we're only open officially Tuesday and Thursdays, but we have activities Monday through Saturday. Mm-hmm. We are busy, busy, busy up there. So it keeps it a pretty exciting place.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So again, anything else, Steve? Anything else you want to add? Do you have a talent? Are you going to be participating in that?
I am. I'll be doing two original songs for my Penguin Project album.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Okay.
That's my fifth album.
Oh, wow.
That's impressive, Steve. Wow. that is cool. So are you finding, are your membership numbers growing? You know, you're kind of the, like you said, the best kept secret, but are people finding more out more? People are going to know now because, you know. That's, on the radio, on a national radio day talking about it.
Yeah, that's a desirable thing. And
more
community involvement means you can you can serve the community even better. We've got every first Saturday of every month from 8 to 10, we have the community pancake breakfast. Really hard to go get a good breakfast for $7 for members, $10 for as many pancakes as you can eat on top of that. So it's a great group of people. It's not a cliquey place. It's not a depressed place. It's a very animated location. And there's a wonderful, unique boutique which sells gifts and contributed items that are perfect for gift giving. So if you have anything coming up, by all means, go in and get it where the old-fashioned prices still live. So that's really cool.
That's good.
Yeah.
So tell us again, age demographic on this. What's the minimum age?
50 plus.
That's what. Okay.
To be a member, but you can be an associate member and have access to everything that's up there for anybody over 18, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. So anybody can come in and be a member other than a child. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So we've got the health fair on the 25th. We've got the talent show. Anything else you want to make sure listeners know about? Anything upcoming, or just check out the website?
I would say go on the website because there's all kinds of stuff. We have dances two or three times a month, either on a Sunday afternoon or a Saturday night. We have bingo every Thursday. We have card games of bridge and mahjong and all kinds of different card games going on. We have karaoke on the first and third Tuesdays from 1 to 4, or almost 1 to 4. And there's just all kinds of stuff for anybody. You can come. We have books for sale, and they're what, like 50 cents a piece for paperback and a blanket, and 75 for hardback, I think. But anyway, but we got real variety for all kinds of people. So,
and I started a writing class, and that's really grown. Mm-hmm. You know, seniors got their stories, man.
Oh yeah, You know what? I'm glad you mentioned that, Sheila, because it's so important to document those stories.
It is, and seniors frequently feel like their stories were just ordinary, and now. Mm. They're the walking encyclopedias of survival. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so I have such reverence for getting these stories out of these folks. And it's been just a delightful experience. And that's Tuesday morning at 9:30.
No, and again, all of this is on the website, the schedules and everything. And again, I love that you're doing that, because a lot of times some of the best memoirs I've met are just day in the life.
Oh,
and you just get a snapshot of what life was like and say, 1972 or 1968 or 1985
or 1950 or right after World War II, or what did you do when there was no rubber or no sugar or no anything? What did you do? And I hate to have all that information lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's valuable to everyone who can appreciate it. So,
yeah.
Amen. It's been great.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That is great. Real quick, the website again.
It's
if you can't find it, I'll find it, because again, everything will be up in show notes, and so I'll direct people to it. No worries, we got it.
Well,
I got
it. It would be on the newsletter there, Sheila.
I'm looking. Mm-hmm. Oh,
there you go.
Okay, yeah, ksascenter.com.
Okay. ksascenter.com. All right. Well, Steve and Sheila, best of luck on the events. I will share everything out. Great to talk to you. Love the activities and the work you guys are doing out there. It's wonderful.
Thank you. Come on by and see for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Denise. Thanks, Hunter, for having us.
All righty. All righty. We're going to take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Miller's Barbecue and Catering and Color Tile of Salem.
All right. And as always, if you missed anything, we kind of went through a lot of stuff pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. I love how Sheila was so passionate about the work she's doing out there. That writing class, man, that's exciting. I love that.
Well, I'm glad she mentioned it, because that's
me too.
Those are the things we've talked about a lot. We've done a whole lot, especially our Veterans Week celebrations, kind of pulling stories out of people. And those stories are so forgotten with time, and finding ways to get it down where the people may pass on, but the stories still live is so important.
And a lot of people think, well, I have to have led this huge, big, larger than life. It's like, no, some of the most interesting, compelling things are, I lived during this time and this is how I got through it. Mm-hmm. Like she said, what was it like when you couldn't get food, or she was talking earlier, she's a little older than I am. Mine would be more the 60s and 70s. She was talking 40s and 50s, but there were turbulent times, things that were going on, and we all remember that. And to have personal recollections of that is so important. The mundane, what did gas price then? How did you struggle to get groceries? What were some celebrations? I think it's so crucial, and I'm so glad that the Kaiser Salem area seniors are doing that. Bravo to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that is a great thing, and the things they do over there. If you're a senior, check it out and see what you can do. And if you're not, maybe you have a loved one who may be. Or if you're an 18-year-old that can sing Whitney Houston, I mean, it's worth it.
Well, that was great.
The first thing that popped in my head is, you know, in America's Got Talent, or what was the one on Fox? American Idol. You know, anybody that tried to sing Whitney Houston in their tryouts, they're just like, no, don't shoot that quite that high on your test
run.
Don't
start there. Don't start there. So that is cool. And then just all the other stuff going on. And then, of course, the health fair. So it is the 25th. Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay, we did mention it is National Radio Day. it should be a holiday as far as I'm concerned. And again, a lot of, you know, pressure to keep AM radio in cars.
Mm-hmm. Well, we could always just take our headsets off and make it our own little holiday right now. You know, what would that
dead
be? What would that be? 47
show?
Minutes of silence, you know, in dedication
air.
To National Radio Day.
Some people may appreciate that. it is also National Bacon Lovers Day. I celebrate. Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, it's National Hawaiian Pizza Day, which I'm not a big fruit on pizza person. No.
Some say putting pineapple on pizza is a hit. I'm kind of leaning. I lean a little more into that camp. I'll eat it if it's put in front of me and I'm hungry. But it's just, you know, because I like New York style pizza, thin crust, just sauce and cheese. Mm-hmm. Kind of an old school. That's good.
And why would this be any kind of recognition day?
I know. I do not celebrate World Mosquito Day.
Yeah, no, I have enough issues with the mosquitoes in my life. I don't need to celebrate them at a worldwide scale.
It's like, I acknowledge you, mosquitoes. I saw a video of a kid and he was asking a pastor, why did God create mosquitoes? I mean, it seems like, what are they? But, you know, when you think about it, they are part of the food chain. Mm-hmm. And everything is so complex and beautifully created. And they do have a place. But, man, I can't stand them.
How would you celebrate World Mosquito Day? Just go out there with a t-shirt and shorts on at dusk and put your arm out and allow them to enjoy? I mean,
I'm going to smack them and take my electric tennis wand and we're going to go zzz, 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 and we'll celebrate that way. It's like fireworks.
It's like your own little mosquito 4th of July, huh? Is that what you're saying?
Yay, I'm celebrating. Oh my gosh. On this day in history too, wow, lots of stuff happened. Okay, 1619. We all remember hearing a lot about 1619 during 2020. It is the day the first ships, the slave ships arrived from Jamestown, Virginia. Not going to dig too much into that. That's a big conversation, a nuanced conversation. There's so much to it. No, America did not start on 1619. I'm going to say that. But that was a big thing in the Black Square and all of that. So that was on this day in 1619.
Well, in 1667, Milton publishes Paradise Lost. We were supposed to read this in high school. I didn't read it in high school.
I did not. I'm embarrassed to say. In 1866, I read a lot of other stuff, but I did not read that. In 1866, the official end of the Civil War as President Johnson declares the Texas insurrection over.
All right. In 1896, the rotary dial telephone is patented. Ask your kids what that is. They'll have no clue.
I did not know it was that old. But I guess it was.
Yeah. And I mean, it probably wasn't in every household by 1900,
no.
But...
In 1940, Churchill's iconic broadcast salute to the RAF never was so much owed to so few. I'll link that up. I have a link to it here in the notes to listen to that. That was a big speech.
Yeah, and of course, in 1974, the first non-elected president, President Ford, named Nelson Rockefeller his VP, and no one voted for him either.
Nope. And 1986, the origin of going postal. 14 postal workers, or 14 were killed by a postal worker on a rampage. Of course, that's one of those ubiquitous phrases now that is just part of the lexicon.
Yep. In 1991, Estonia declared its independence from the USSR.
Okay. 1998. The U.S. launches cruise missile attacks on al-Qaeda camps in Afghanistan. We have been at this for so long with these people. So always interesting stuff. And again, hat tip to my buddy Michael Pelka. He does a lot of legwork on putting these lists together because there's always something interesting. And I love looking back on history. I'm kind of a geek that way.
Well,
so thanks for indulging me.
Maybe a year from now, this one will be on the list of, August 20th of 2026. And it's not a game, but a truckload of squids spilled onto the streets in Rhode Island.
Okay, I have the video up right now, and pardon my gag reflex, because I can smell this video. If you've ever smelled rotting fish, and this is in Rhode Island, and again, it is hot and it is humid over there. Mm-hmm. So I am so glad we're not having to deal with that. I was over in Cape Cod earlier this summer, and there was a weird squid die-off. When you're on the wharfs out there, out in P-Town at the tip of the Cape, you could see all these white bodies down there. And it was like, what the heck? And it's just, they just die off. This is not that. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad they were covered in water and I didn't, oh, the video, I have to, excuse me, I have to close the window. It's nasty. It was fully loaded and it was taking them to a processing factory out of town when the trailer dislodged and it tipped on its side as the driver was navigating a turn, spilling a substantial portion of its calamari cargo. And this was at 9:27 and the intersection didn't reopen until 5:15. I feel bad for everybody who was in smelling vicinity of that and having to see, because if squid are, they have a distinctive smell.
Yeah, something actually similar to this happened to me a few summers ago. We were going up into Washington State on I-5, and a truck that had kind of it was a disposal truck with meat.
Like
roadkill disposal.
Oh.
And it crashed and wrecked, and three lanes of the freeway were covered with rotting meat portions, and the smell was...
What time of year was this?
Summertime. So 90-degree pavement, cooking. Oh, yeah, it was horrendous. There was traffic, and you couldn't do anything. You're just, even you're on the freeway, you're stuck in, you know, stop-and-go traffic rolling past this stuff, and it was horrible.
And when you think about it, smell is particulate that's lodging itself in your nose and your mouth. And you can't go anywhere. I don't know. When it smells like that, I'd almost want to just pass out for a little while. I didn't have to deal with.
You roll the windows up, you put on the circulating air, and it still can't eliminate every bit of smell sneaking its way into your vehicle. Oh, yeah. No, I'm not watching the video that you're watching, and I'm kind of going because I lived it once.
Yeah. It's being dubbed Squidpocalypse 26, so
on next year's This Day in History, here it is.
Yep, Squidpocalypse. We're gonna look for it, make a mental note. All right, we're gonna take a break to the bottom of the hour news. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All right. This headline from the Oregon Capitol Chronicle, quote, up to voters of his district, unquote, Oregon lawmakers mostly silent on Rep. Greg Smith's ethics violations. Now, we haven't really talked about this too much. He doesn't represent the area. He is a Republican from Heppner. I've been following this story. I have other people that have been following it. It's a little bit concerning. So this is, again, and I'm quoting from the article here, Oregon lawmakers have largely remained silent on whether State Representative Greg Smith, a Republican from Eastern Oregon, should face consequences in the legislature for breaking state ethics laws and costing taxpayers tens of thousands of dollars. My initial response to that first paragraph is, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I fully encourage any politician. I don't care what your party is, what letter you run with. If you are breaking ethics rules and ethics laws, yes, you need to be held accountable for that.
So let me run down here again from the article. Last week, the Oregon Government Ethics Commission fined Smith $12,000 for violating state ethics laws and abusing his position as a public official to boost his pay and approve his own vacation time as director of a federally funded public development authority. Despite the authority's board directing him to repay $33,000 he received through a raise he maneuvered without the board's knowledge, he has kept the money. And again, I'm quoting from the article here. Smith denied any intentional wrongdoing and says he is willing to return the money, but agreed to pay the $12,000 to end the case rather than pursue a defense in a contested hearing. I guess this fine is among the largest in state history, and it's symbolic of the weight of the conflict of interest violations with which he has been charged. So that's serious stuff.
Well, yeah, and I am a huge proponent of not allowing people, especially our elected representatives, to determine their own salary. Because I hate that our legislatures are doing those things, because I'm sitting here going, wait a second, you get elected, you kind of get to determine what you get paid, and you know, by just getting a few people together and saying, hey, we think we deserve more.
I know, how nice is that? And he has put out a video. I did watch it. It was he basically has denied all of this. It was a strange video. I don't know that it did him any favors. I don't know the videos like that do public officials any favors?
I don't think so. I'm not a big fan of the idea of creating a video that you're going to deny things and throw excuses out there because, yeah, it just comes across as disingenuous. And a simple public statement is probably a better way to go than trying to deny in a video.
And then there's been some claims that, you know, of not being aware, that doesn't float with me at all. As an elected official, it is your duty. You are held to a higher standard to be aware of what the ethics and the laws and the rules are in the state or the county or the city, whatever entity that you are in a representative position, not a leadership position. You are representing constituents. So that has been concerning as well. And the other part that's been concerning, and this is again from the article, is that there's been a failure to respond to this by Republican lawmakers. And I'm concerned about that because we should be able to police our own. There have been people who have been thrown out for sexual harassment. Most recently, probably Representative Mike Nierman for letting armed people into the Capitol, for smoking in the Capitol, for making rude comments. There have been consequences to those things. I guess the Oregon Capitol Chronicle has reached out to numerous leadership folks in the House, and there have been no responses. That's concerning to me.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. It's like you want to hold the high ground and be able to sit here and say this behavior is unacceptable for anybody. You need to be willing to say both parties need to be held to the same standard, not kind of just silence and allow a fellow Republican simply because what you want to make sure you have numbers or you want, you know. No.
Yeah.
It needs to be, you need the responsibility to be overbearing across the board. So that way you kind of always hold the upper hand because we know that the other side of the aisle is more than happy. I mean, you look at the federal level with the Eric Swalwell stuff, you know,
and
things like that, where we're going to defend our own. I'm going, you can't hold a higher ground if you're not willing to kind of sit there and say, I don't care who you are. You need to be held accountable.
And I think it is the colleagues, the body should be able to do that. Again, the body voted to expel Representative Nierman. They made that decision. A lot of them choosing to do so, not necessarily because of the initial action, but because there was some dishonesty on the other side of it to colleagues. I'm seeing a lot of, well, it's the voters have to decide that. Yes, that's true. The voters do have to decide that. The voters maybe aren't necessarily privy to what these lawmakers are privy to. There was one Senator Noah Robinson saying it was hard for him to believe a public official would deliberately and repeatedly violate conflict of interest laws and that Smith must have done so mistakenly. I'm like, oh, hon, really? That's hard for you to believe? Not necessarily in the Smith case, but just in general, really?
Well, and I'm sitting there kind of going, in that statement, you can say if this was an allegation of maybe some bullying or inappropriate behavior. But when you're talking about money being involved, especially from an elected official, you have to kind of sit there and go, okay, we may need to take a big step back and go, because people, no matter who you are, you know, will do some crazy things for money if they believe it can get them ahead and they won't get caught doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And again, there's quite a bit of money here. And apparently, you know, but a lot of leaders, and again, even some Democrats, they're not reaching out. Nobody seems to want to talk about this, which I don't necessarily know. I'm not an insider. I don't know. I'm looking at what's being reported. Again, I've been aware of what's been going on for quite a while, and it hasn't been followed that closely. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Are Republicans, is there going to be some accountability for this individual? I know the numbers are tight. I get that. But do we have high standards or not?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Would this statement from Noah Robinson be the same if it was a Democrat being looked at this way?
Good question.
That's where I would kind of fall into that category.
Yeah, and I guess I would just say with those videos, those sort of like hostage videos, they're very odd and they don't necessarily play well. And I don't know, I would advise against that.
No.
You know, a written statement, and honestly, again, Oregonians, Americans are forgiving. If you take responsibility, most people are pretty forgiving. There's consequences here that need to be, and there are punishments and penalties, but, you know, I don't know.
Well, the video.
I guess I'm old school.
Well, I'm just sitting here going, the video response to things, especially over the internet, I'm going, it always comes across as a little pandering, whether it's Tina Kotek playing with Legos or the superintendent of the school trying to explain things. I'm kind of going, you're doing these on these videos that very few people that are asking the question are actually ever going to see. And it's just kind of like a way of creating a little distraction from what you're really talking about.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of them because most people are not natural in them. So they always come across as just odd and strange. Unless you've got an affinity and you really can work the camera and you can work a mic and you can, it's just, you can tell people are reading and then there's a lot of jump cuts. It's like, I don't do these things.
No. There's better ways. Like I said, a simple written statement is going to be, even if you feel like you need to read the statement, call a press conference, get in front of some cameras and just read your statement and be done.
And maybe take some questions. Huh? Mm-hmm. How about that?
What?
Back in the day, you'd have to answer to constituents.
Questions are too tough. Come on. We see the Seattle mayor. Questions are just out of the league. Come on.
Well, speaking of that, just to segue over to that the recall effort, I mean, the numbers are staggering. It's like 61% disapproval of Mayor Forehead.
Well, I think.
Are you surprised, though? I mean, no, I don't know. Honestly, do you think they should recall her or they should be stuck with her? You voted for this.
Yeah. Trip. Well, and that's the thing. I think what you're seeing right now is a ton of buyer's remorse. A lot of people that voted for her simply because she was so caring and so understanding and so willing to take care and help out the little person and yada, yada, yada are realizing that in order to take care of the little person, you got to actually have some competence. And some understanding and realize how reality works compared to, you know, a romance novel, I guess.
I know. And Mayor Katie really had never had a job. I don't know. When you were running for mayor, maybe changed to Catherine or, you know, the gravitas of a name. But it's a little bit, part of me is like, you know, you should just live with this for the entire term, assuming it's a 4-year term.
Well, and seeing her responses of, well, it's going to play out legally, and it's just like, you know, if I'm advising Mayor Katie right now, I'm saying you might just step down, get out of the way, and take your bags, go home, and realize that maybe you dived in a little too deep.
Yeah, you're way, way over your skis on this one. But then also be careful what you wish for, because in Chicago, they got rid of, what's-her-face, Lori Lightfoot, and they got whoever this guy, I can't remember his name, Jacobs something. Yeah. I can't remember. Who's worse?
Yeah.
So,
and that's the question. Could Seattle do worse?
Yes, you can always do worse. Oh, my gosh. All right, let's go ahead and take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denison Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
Okay, so, I mean, it is summertime. Of course, it is winding down. My gosh, it's already the 20th. The summer is gone.
I know, just a couple more weeks and then we get kids back in school.
And I noticed last night I was watching the boob tube or whatever and realizing it's like dark now. It's getting darker earlier. And it's like, oh, here it comes. Mm-hmm. And we're still going to fall back, which means it's going to be even dark. We haven't made any decisions on that.
Oh, no. No.
God.
Who wants to make a decision? Come on.
Well, Portland has been making some decisions that are making life a little more miserable. RightWingOregonNews.com. Portland's anti-auto planning is deep in congestion, of course. Cut transit use and driven up traffic deaths. This is a Cascade Policy Institute analysis arguing that decades of policies designed to suppress driving have left Portland with worse congestion, collapsing transit ridership, and higher traffic fatalities. Okay, right.
Well, no surprises there. And I just sit here and go, unfortunately, this becomes a story here in Salem because what they do in Portland will directly affect us as their neighbors to the south.
Yeah, and driving through Portland, which I do often, well, not through Portland, I go around it because I can't stand Portland, but Seattle, done a lot of driving in Seattle this summer. And it's like 5 or 6 lanes. And what they end up doing is, well, we'll give you a bike lane. Mm-hmm. Here you go. Here's a bike lane or a bus lane. Meanwhile, nobody's riding the buses. Everybody's in their cars. They're idling. The air is stinkier. The pollution is worse. And this is environmentalists doing this. But the whole bottom line is they want you out of their car and it's not working. So it's making everything worse. Man, these people are awful.
Well, and you know, you add all that in and then attitudes get worse and people get more and more impatient. And then have road rage. You have traffic accidents. You have illegal maneuverings. You have speeding. You have all of these things, which then they point to and say, there's the cause. I saw a report. It's like, you know, 33% of accidents are caused by speeding. And I'm kind of going, yes, but let's add in all the other environmental mentalities of, yeah, it took me 45 minutes to make it a mile because of the congestion through Portland, and now I'm running behind, so I'm hitting the gas a little extra hard, and I still can't get around these people that are planted in the left lane.
Oh, that's, and I, you know, and I, you'll drive by them, and I'm like, look at me, and they don't look at you, and I'm like, oh, I want to just at least glare at you. Get out of the left lane. And Oregon, honestly, Portland is one of the worst states for that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely oblivious drivers that don't care, and they should be ticketed for that.
I wish they would be. I know a few years ago, Washington State put that into their law books that you can get pulled over for holding up traffic in the left lane. Granted, they don't do it in the Seattle area. It's down in, you know, southern Oregon and or southern mm-hmm. Washington, where there's a lot more room to maneuver. But I'm going, but it was already a law. If you look, when you're taught to drive, you see those white signs? Those are law signs, the speed limit signs, the move right, except to pass signs. Yeah. So yeah. I'm going, it's yeah. all there. They just don't do it ever. And I go, and these people are much more, I mean, I went down early this summer, joined some friends down in Southern Oregon to go to a comedy show. And as I'm driving down, there's, you know, it's wide open going southbound on I-5 south of Eugene. And somebody decided that they belonged in the left lane and would yep. not get over. In fact, when I came up on them, they decided to try and brake check me on the freeway at 70 gosh. Miles an hour. And I'm going, so not only are you in the left lane when you shouldn't be, but now you're trying to cause additional problems.
Yeah. Yeah. That should be a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Some findings from this Cascade policy study, a lot of the outcomes, there's three flawed assumptions. First, anti-auto policies simply do not reduce driving. I mean, the share of solo drivers rose from 66% in 1980 to 74% in 2019, even after the pandemic boosted remote work. Per capita vehicle miles traveled climbed 12% between 2019 and 2024. Second, the police ignore automobiles' clear advantages in job access, or the policies rather, and equity. If you have to rely on a bus transit schedule to get to your job, it's going to make it that much harder. The freedom that you have with your own well-maintained car on well-maintained streets is freedom mm-hmm. for your upward mobility. Clearly the people who craft these policies, and I'm again, it's not incompetence. They don't care.
Well, the other part of it, because you mentioned it, the one that stuck out to me there is the solo drivership.
Yep.
Has
yep.
gone up from 60 to over 70%. Well, I'm going, what came out of the 80s? The idea of the carpool lane. If you've got two people and you're willing to commute together, carpool lanes. Well, cities like Seattle have taken out their carpool lanes and replaced them with pay lanes. And Portland, you have a carpool lane through a little bit of I-5, but it's only from like 3 to 6 or something during rush hour Monday through Friday.
Yeah, I don't even think. Carpooling was a big thing in the late 70s mm-hmm. and the 80s, and I never did it because I guess I'm antisocial. I don't want to sit, you know, at 7 o'clock in the morning when I'm half asleep with a bunch of people. Sorry.
It only made sense to me when I'm traveling with my wife and family, because now we can use the carpool lane.
Exactly. I mean, unless you live near the people that you work with, mm-hmm. you're going to be driving all over to pick them all up. This getting back to the job access too, a University of Minnesota data shows that Portland residents can reach 10 times as many jobs in a 60-minute car trip as by transit, and more than 60 times as many in 20 minutes. So again, that helps lower income houses. Of course, we can go back to what Clash for Clunkers did mm-hmm. under Obama, which took out a lot of affordable cars for people that, you know, maybe just need a beater to get to and from work, but now have to spend thousands and thousands of dollars versus a couple of grand for an old Nova, which would have done just the job just fine. They took so many of those off the road. Policies, again.
Oh, I spent years driving beater, clunker, transit cars that got decent gas mileage that got me from A to B, and they never had to do anything except get me to and from work. It made so much sense. I bought cars from everything from $100 to $1,000 that I just used to commute until they crapped out on me.
That's been our habit. We tend to drive our cars until they drop dead, and then we donate them to charity, and then that's just how we've always done it. And again, it is freedom, and it's good for lower income people and people that need that. And again, these policies do nothing but make that harder. So
well, but you know, the other part of the whole transit concept is it takes away from family time. So let's say I have a 15-minute drive from my house to the radio station here. If I decided I would prefer to take transit, now I'm probably leaving my house an hour plus before. I'm going out. I'm waiting at a bus stop. The bus comes and picks me up. It's taking me to the transit center at Kaiser Station, where I'm getting on a different bus coming down here. So now instead of a 15-minute drive, I'm doing an hour-long commute just to be a transit rider. No, thank you.
And for what benefit? For what benefit? Oh, for carbon emissions?
My carbon footprint?
Okay.
Which with today's cars is so small, you wouldn't even notice it.
Nah. And anyway, driving's gotten safer. The cars have gotten safer. I mean, I've got airbags in my Sonata. Basically, if anything happens, I'm like bubble wrapped. Mm-hmm. So I still miss the land yachts of yore. The Cadillac convertibles that were, you know, or the Chevy Impala that was like a city block wide, or you're like a street wide. Trying to navigate that down a little village street was just like, you needed like backup and forward warning sounds. It was huge.
That's where the horn honking as you throw it into reverse came into play. Let everyone know the yacht is on the move.
Oh, my gosh. So anyway, again, this was right-wing Oregon. It's so frustrating because we all have to deal with it. If you drive anywhere, and I do a lot of driving. Well, I do a lot of passengering, I'll put it that way. And it's frustrating, and especially when you're in the larger metro areas, and it's not getting any better, and there are no plans. The simplest solution would be to add more lanes.
Create better designed freeways where you could actually exit and you know, don't have to cross six lanes of traffic. I mean, growing up in Seattle, it used to be you sat here and said, I don't want to get out on the freeway during this set of time in the morning and this set of time in the afternoon. Now you go through there and it can be 2 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon and the traffic is just as bad as any other time of the day.
Yep. We try to time that as well. And I don't think we've been successful, especially if you're going between Seattle and Olympia. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
you're
good
a
luck.
Parking lot.
Well, good luck.
I know.
Well, I always said that there's that spot in Tacoma where they've been doing road work for 50 years.
Yes, they still are.
Yep. My whole lifetime, every time you're through, it's like, oh, they're reworking this area again.
again. It's your money, WizDOT, your money at work. Yeah, it was like the big dig in Boston. They finally finished that up. So So none of this stuff makes life any better. No. I do want to note today was a milestone day.
Okay.
In a bad way, not a good way. National Debt Clock. Do you follow that website? It's got all the spending, all the everything.
Nope.
It's just, and it moves really, really, really fast.
Yeah, too depressing.
Well, guess what? Here we go. Yay, us. We hit $41 trillion today. Woo!
If only that Elon Musk guy would finally write that check.
Isn't he worth that? Just write a check and just be done with it.
I don't think he's worth quite that $40 trillion. You know, he might put a small dent in it, but I mean, maybe we just need to tax him at 110%.
Oh, and here I'm saying 41 because when I looked this morning, it was 40. I figured it just went up another trillion between then and now. So it's probably still just 40.
Well, upper 40s now.
Upper 40s. I'll pull it up after. No, I don't want to be depressed. I want to go into the weekend. So
enjoy the weekend.
It's going to be good. It is going to be good. Yeah, we've got great shows planned for next week. So it's going to be a nice weekend, nice weather. Enjoy it. Summer's almost over.
Pretty soon. Our football kickoff show's next Friday night.
Yeah. That's going to be great. All right, everybody, have a great day. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.